Joining us from the Hartford Business Journal, and the latest edition of the journal has been published. It's on the streets, and it's also on the website, hartfordbusiness.com. But joining us is the digital producer and a reporter with the Hartford Business Journal, Keith Griffin. Keith, welcome to Front and Center.
Hi, Dan. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Well, a lot of great stories on hartfordbusiness.com today and in the print edition of the Hartford Business Journal, and I want to begin with one, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA,
sure,
for short, and how apparently they are cracking down on Connecticut employers. What's going on here?
Sure. It's not so much that it's a crackdown on Connecticut employers. I think what business owners are going to be surprised to find is that the fines are going up for the first time in 25 years. Congress finally got around to allowing the fines to go up, and it's looking by as much as up to 80% once August 1st rolls around. So that's going to be a pretty big surprise to some people who used to just almost let the OSHA fines be a cost of doing business.
There's a quote from an attorney, Jane Warren, in the story, and she says, quote, "I think there may be a bit of a rude awakening when the fines increase."
Sure. It's possible under this new fines being proposed that the most serious violations could go up, as I said, 80% to a top of $127,000, which is could be a bit of a shock. And I think the idea is to get businesses to be more proactive to avoid the fines.
I think another quote she made is very telling. She said, "It's easy to find violations anywhere. It's not hard." Think about that for just a moment.
Sure. And what's happened is a lot of people have, I think a lot of businesses have almost been counting on OSHA not finding them, you know, not discovering the fines, and pretty much just trying to do business as normal without real strong oversight. So it's been a real gamble on parts of lots of businesses just to think they can avoid that OSHA. And if they did get caught, it'd be a relatively affordable fine, but not anymore.
Do we know what motivated Congress to increase the fines? I know it's been decades, but do we know what motivated this?
Sure. I think a lot of the motivation just came from the desire to get the fines in line, to make them more effective. I think it was businesses were finally realizing that, you know, and OSHA were realizing that the fines just had no impact anymore. And that it was, I think, surprising as it may sound, it was common sense.
Well,
to put some teeth back into OSHA.
Yeah, interesting. Keith, another story on HartfordBusiness.com, and this is going to be a big week in Hartford for the Manufacturing for the Future, a big conference. This is a three-day event, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge. Greg C., one of our news, that story, and it's fascinating to read. It's just such a big event. I mean, it's going to attract several thousand professionals and people associated with manufacturing to Hartford to come down to the convention center and to find everything that's latest and greatest, and also to address their biggest problem, which is finding workers. You know, people might be surprised to hear that, but there's still a great demand for people with these high-tech skills to get into manufacturing.
What's going to be on display at this technology event? What do we know?
Sure. They're going to focus on, a lot of it is three big areas. Obviously, with Connecticut being such an aerospace manufacturing, that's manufacturing is going to be one. So they call them manufacturing verticals to get technical. So they'll be looking at aerospace. Will be on display, defense, and also medical devices will be the big three. They'll have 85 new products from almost 200 companies coming to attend that, and then just showcasing what's new, what the new technology is, you know, that's out there, what's going to be in demand for hospitals and medical devices, and pretty much defense, the latest and greatest, you know, proposed defense items that are coming.
This is going to be at the Connecticut Convention Center, right?
Yes. Yep. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
You know, it's interesting. This story points out there are 12.3 million manufacturing workers across the country. But as you mentioned, there are 600,000 vacancies. We need 600,000 people to fill these jobs across the nation.
Yeah, and I think that's what people don't appreciate, that there are jobs out there, and they're good jobs, and you just need to get people into the training. You know, that's kind of the mistake that has been made. I think a lot of emphasis is placed on maybe an academic pursuit when you finish high school, when it might be wiser to send people to technical schools and to get that kind of training, because you're looking at 12 million workers nationally and they're looking for another 600,000. I mean, that's just like 5% right there, that additional jobs that could be filled and that, you know, would put people on the careers to, on the path to good paying careers.
You know what else is fascinating, Keith? And it is, as you mentioned, not only the fact that these are well-paying jobs, but also today's factories aren't the factories that some people might have thought of 50 or 60 years ago. These factories are computerized. You can eat off the floor because it's so clean, not the other way around. It's phenomenal what they've done.
Oh, I know. It is. It's amazing. And my other life, I also cover the automotive industry, and I've been inside some of the OEM factories around the country, and it's amazing how clean they are and how they're really designed so workers can stay in these jobs for decades. You know, it's really become a place where you're not going to get sick. You know, they're set up for ergonomics, you know, to avoid repetitive injuries that you get in the past, and they're really amazingly clean spaces. As you say, you know, you could eat off the floor. And just it's become such a safer and healthier career than it used to be. You know, that's what, I don't think people necessarily appreciate that when it comes to saying they're sending their kids maybe off to work in manufacturing. I have two daughters, 12 and 8, and I'd be fine with them going into technical trades after high school, because I know they would have jobs for life.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because also on your website is a story. State lawmakers are currently considering a bill aimed at encouraging more middle and high school students to consider manufacturing mm-hmm. careers. This is very interesting, Keith. How about talking about that?
Sure. The idea there, and it's really a smart one, is it's almost too late when a kid graduates high school to get them interested in manufacturing careers. You really have to, it's good if you can plant the seed and to get plans developed and coordinated among all the different sectors to, you know, to pique that interest starting in middle school. And that way it helps them take the right classes, develop some of the underlying skills that they're going to need when they come out so they can go to trade school or do apprenticeships, you know, in various fields and be ready. And it's because a lot of times, unfortunately, what happens is you might have a kid who graduates high school and doesn't know what to do, you know, and not knowing that there are so many jobs out there that if they had good education in middle school and high school to prepare them, they'd probably be able to step into them right away.
And apparently this is a bill that has, if we can actually believe it in this day and age, bipartisan support, Keith.
Yeah. Well, somewhat tongue-in-cheek. I mean, the one side realizes you need the jobs, and the other side, I think, realizes they want the taxes from those jobs. So, seriously, you know, the more people you have employed, just it's so much better for the economy. And because we're a graying state, and we're going to lose a lot of people with those skills. And what's going to happen is manufacturers are going to go somewhere else where they can find workers. And it's not just a case of the high cost of doing business. It's an issue where they don't have the workforce. So, I mean, that's why some companies, for instance, as you know, maybe tried going to Mexico and other countries to do manufacturing, but they ended up coming back to the United States because the workers there weren't educated enough in the skills that they needed to do effective manufacturing. So I think that's why there is bipartisan support for this. It's going to keep young people in Connecticut with good-paying jobs and help the economy.
Talking with Keith Griffin on Front and Center, I'm Dan Lovallo, and also on the HartfordBusiness.com website is this story about Hartford and the difficulty it's having in balancing its budget. What's the latest?
Sure. The latest is the mayor has his hands tied in terms of the things that he can do. There's really not much left to sell in terms of capital property that the city owns, and he's vowed no new taxes this year, and he can't restructure his debt. So really the latest is it's going to come down to just how he cuts expenses. He's Mayor Bronin is used to work for Governor Malloy, and both gentlemen are the realization this year that you have to cut spending. You know, there are no new revenues that you can raise out there, and so I think that's what the mayor's looking at. It's just, you know, he maybe in a year or so he'll be able to evaluate property as part of the annual revaluation. Their 5-year evaluation will help a little bit, but in the meantime, it's just he's going to have to go bare bones.
Well, and one of the biggest facets to this story is the fact the city's debt service has tripled. I mean, it's out of sight when you think about it, Keith.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it is crazy. In 1 year, it's going to go from $10 million this year to $30 million. And there's also an interesting statistic in there that our news editor, Matt Pilon, picked up on from his conversations with Moody's, is that the city's debt equivalent is like 9% of the value of all taxable property in the city. And that's almost doubled in just 5 years. You know, and that's making the credit rating agencies nervous. You know, it makes it tough for them to give Hartford good bond ratings, and so that's why the mayor really has to act now and cut his capital spending, cut his employee costs as much as possible, and then just, you know, make the investors a little less nervous.
Now, if you throw in on top of that the fact that a lot of these municipalities, Hartford included, are probably going to take a whack in the area of state aid because of the state's budget mess, that just compounds the problem, Keith.
Sure. And that's the great unknown as we approach the end of the session in less than 72 hours. Actually, at this point, I guess about 60 hours. It'll end without anything really being accomplished, and they're going to be in the position towns and cities across the state, they're going to have to assume the worst, and that, you know, that's not a great way to plan your budgeting. And so they're going to have to make cuts assuming the money's not going to be there.
So I say let's end this interview on a high note, and this great story about, and I'll say right up in front that they are an advertiser on this program, Frontier Communications, but what Frontier is going to do, they are expanding high-speed internet to Hartford, the North End. This is a big story, Keith.
Oh, it's a great story. It's really, I'd say, good corporate citizenship on the part of Frontier, because they're going to bring high-speed internet to an area that really doesn't have it. It's just become, we'd reported on in the past, it's just become prohibitively expensive. They're talking about, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars to get high-speed internet installed at a little store or business, and they couldn't justify that. But now Frontier's made the commitment, and they're going to make it so much easier for those businesses to finally get it and to really to compete, you know, 21st century. You know, it's going to bring them up to a point where they're not held back anymore. You know, they're not going to be in a dial-up world, so to speak. They'll be probably faster than most cities around here, and I think that also, too, eventually, when they see the success in the north end of Hartford, I'm sure it's going to spread to the south end and west end of Hartford, and you'll see other businesses benefited from it, too. So it's a great move on Frontier's part.
Do we know when they're going to start installing this fiber optic technology?
I believe it's within the next 6 months is their target to really get it in there in a meaningful way. They'll have it. They're shooting by the, I'd say probably kick off within the next, within the next 6 months, they'll have made significant inroads. into it. And again, it's just, I think as quickly as they can get installers to install it, and depending on customer interest. But I have to believe the customer interest is going to be there.
And you know the importance of high-speed internet. I mean, you're a digital producer in this day and age.
That's right.
I mean, you need a high-speed internet if you hope to survive, don't you?
Oh, exactly. Customers will come to your website, and if it's slow, forget about it. And if you need forever to answer a customer's question, forget about it. It's just people really want it, snap of the finger type service. You know, they're just too impatient to wait for anything, and it really just hurts the business, especially if they have to move a lot of materials over the internet, you know, various files and stuff. So it's going to mean a lot to the North End. And I think, maybe it'll help the, things go quicker at Dunkin' Donuts Stadium too. You never know.
What's the rule of thumb? If a website doesn't load within a couple of seconds, the person goes on to the next website.
Yeah. If it's not loaded within, 10 seconds, you assume something's wrong with the website. And you just move on. You know, you there's just a perception that it's just some technical problem, and you know, you'll leave. That's how impatient people are for websites to load.
It really is wild what's going on from that standpoint. Well, Keith, you've been very, very informative today. What did I miss? Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think we touched on a lot. It's just as always. I encourage folks to come over to HartfordBusiness.com. We have two e-newsletters a day that can keep folks up to date in the morning. We have our statewide e-newsletter and then HBJ Today at noon. So if you want to keep up to date on business in Connecticut and Hartford, obviously we think that's a great place to start.
Well, that's great. Keith, thanks for informing our audience today.
Thanks, Dan. Always a pleasure.
You take care.